sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the second hour here on this Friday, May 1st, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Pastor Sheffield's got a lesson plan pulled up for us today. Quote, who said this? There is always a need for war. Good morning,
I
sir.
I said it. Good morning. I said it. It's for me. I mean, there's always an argument for war, and maybe, and some people believe there's always a need for war. War is what we do as human beings. So it's what happens. Just remind everybody that Genesis chapter 4 of the Bible, the first person ever born, Cain, murdered the second person ever born, Abel, and so murder, killing, it's a part of human history. You cannot read the Bible without seeing that. It's just throughout the Bible. You cannot study history without seeing that. This is what it is. Psalm 120 verses 6 and 7. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they're for war. Somebody's always for war. And the founders of our country understood that. From the very beginning, we understood that, even from before the very beginning. I know, Randy, you've watched the documentary on Adams, or the, you know, the miniseries.
John Adams.
You remember the scene, the snake all cut up.
Yep.
And that concept was from Ben Franklin. It says unite or die. The reason we became a country, the reason the 13 colonies united to form the United States, was because you have to unite, because if you don't, somebody is going to attack you and take you over and kill you. That is the way it is. You have to arm yourself always. You have to be well armed. It's human existence. You can't read the Bible without knowing that. You can't read history without knowing that. It is what it is. So I'm going to give you kind of an overview of this in American history, because I kind of know that better. But the more I read and study European history, there's always people fighting. And I can't, the more I learn about different problems and wars, the more I know, wow, war is just an integral part of human history. And people that are say, well, you know, we got to have peace. And you, those who strive for peace the hardest, and peace at any price, almost always get war. And that's what George Washington said in his farewell address. You got to prepare for war, and occasionally, when necessity rises, go to war. And that's the best way to maintain peace. And really, obviously, we all want peace. When we came to this continent, when Europeans came to this continent, there were, it is estimated, 1,100 Indian tribes. And these tribes were warring against each other just about continually. In the eastern part of the United States, the Iroquois and the Cherokee were two main big tribes, and they were constantly in conflict, as was Algonquin. And there were a bunch of other smaller tribes that would join a confederation and be at war out on the plains. The Sioux Indians, Dakota Lakota, sometimes known as, they were wanted to dominate the plains section, and they fought against the Cheyenne, the Crow, and the Arikara. Then you have out in the northern set, way up in Alaska, the Inuits, the Eskimos, in other words, and the Cree engaged in war. The Sioux and the Pawnee, the Apache, and northern Mexico tribes. War was on this continent. War has been on the face of the earth. It's the way it is.
Excellent spot for a break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Road Trip, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip, Likely to Succeed makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Pastor Jeff Field, continue on with your thoughts where you left off.
Okay, this is more philosophical, but it's a good history review. Okay, so there were Indian wars, Indians fighting Indians for centuries before we got here. Please don't think of the American Indians as unlike anybody else. They fought each other. That's the way it is. And by the way, the American Indians learned way too late that if you don't unite, you're going to lose. That's kind of a point of wars. In the early part of the 18th century, Tecumseh was a Indian leader in the early 19th century, and he could see what was happening, that the Europeans, Americans, us, we're moving west, and he could see that the Indians were not united, and he did his best to organize tribes to fight against the United States. Now, it didn't work. Eventually, you had Indian fighters like Andrew Jackson. They were defeated, and they were forced out west. Later, in the last part of the 18th century, after the United, you know, the American Civil War, they saw it again. You had people like Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, and the last Geronimo. They were trying to unite the Indians in defeating the United States, but we just had too many men, too many horses, too many rifles, United States cavalry, and they were defeated. That is the way that is. And, you know, the reason we became a country was because we had to unite, or we would be easy pickings for Europe. That's just the way that is. That's why we became a country. I mean, listen, that's why a neighbor joins with another neighbor to form some sort of a government. This is the social idea of government, social politics. What's the word I'm looking for? That we unite, social contract theory of government. We unite together, create some laws for the defense of our life, our liberty, and our property. That's the whole point of government. And then when you have a government, you got to have a military force to defend yourself against others who would take your life, your liberty, and your property. And you have to have some foresight to do that. I've heard people a lot say, well, I've got things like kind of the patriot types. Well, I've got 12 guns and I got 2,000 rounds of ammunition. I can hold myself up here for a long time if we lose our freedom. No, you can't. We don't want to lose our freedom. We don't want to lose our free government, because you will not last long at all against a well-organized SWAT team that wants to come in and take you out. You will not last. Doesn't work like that. Now, we are armed for self-defense against a lone, you know, bad guy that's coming into our house. But one person can't defend themselves against organized government. This doesn't work. Okay. So when it comes to a country, that's why we have a country. We had the American Revolution. We declared independence, you know, July 4, 1776. New guards for their future security. We believed that the British were taking away God-given freedoms, and we were willing to die for it. In the middle part of our declaration, 27 different specific reasons why we declared our independence. It's good to know that. Go to Rusty Chatfield, Declaration of Independence. You can see me quoting it from memory. Is it, you know, that's the way it is. Now, it was a hard war, but we won. Declared our independence, and we did that in the last part of it under the auspices of the Articles of Confederation, 1787, to form a more perfect union. Part of the reason we had to form a more perfect union was for self-defense, better ordered government. We quote that. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense. That's why we had it. We needed to provide for our common defense. What does that mean? We had to create a military to defend ourselves. They were not naive people. They knew that the Articles of Confederation was not working, and if the country fell apart, France, Britain, Spain, we'd have no choice. We'd have no hope against them. They would come and recolonize us and subjugate us. We had to unite. That's one of the main purposes of the Constitution of the United States. So we did, you know, we win our independence. Then France and Britain are back at war again. They were By the way, in the 18th century, they're back at war like almost 10 times, almost constantly. During the entire 1700s, they were fighting. The last one we call the French and Indian War. But then they're back fighting again, Napoleon, the rise of Napoleon after the French Revolution, and they're at war again, and we get caught in the middle. And part of the United States wanted to help France, and part of the United States wanted to help Britain in the end. James Madison was president. He was a Democratic Republican. We eventually went to war against the British again. It's called the War of 1812. The British were not respecting our rights on the sea. They were, in essence, it's called impressment, that they were pulling up along ships and pulling our guys off ships and forcing them to serve in the British Navy. We didn't like it, and there are a lot of details here. But you know what? We felt like we had to go to war. Were we really ready to go to war with Britain again? Not really. Let me just stop and say we almost went to war with France in about 1798. We had what was called a quasi-war, and the Federalist Party wanted to go to war, and John Adams was a Federalist president. He says, no, we're not ready to go to war, and he counted that as a great thing. He did not go to war against the French, but by 1812, we did go to war, and then eventually when the war between Napoleon and the rest of Europe ended, Napoleon was defeated and eventually exiled. The reason for fighting the war was over, and the war ended. Yes, we had the great victory at New Orleans, ironically, in January of 1815. But that followed the treaty that had already ended the war, but we just didn't get notice. Okay, and throughout our history, we had Indian wars. We fought the Indians. And I'm not saying the Indians are the good guys or we're the good guys. War is what happened. We had an American civilization of laws and constitution, and they didn't. And whatever you think of what happened, the reason the Indians lost, the eventually they were outnumbered, but they didn't have organization, didn't have weaponry, and didn't have unity. And by the time they figured that out, it was too late. And so we wanted them to assimilate into American culture, and most of them have, but not all of them wanted to, you know, and that's the nature of things. That is the way it is. We had the Mexican War, 1846 to 1848. It was over a border dispute. You've heard me talk about this down in the Rio Grande, border dispute. And we said the border was the Rio Grande. They said it was the Vincennes River. And we basically goaded them into attacking us, knowing that we could defeat them, and we did. And the Rio Grande became the established border, and we took the rest of New Mexico, Arizona, parts of California, Colorado, Nevada. We did that for expansion. We wanted to expand, and we could, and we did. Call it bad, call it good. By the way, Abraham Lincoln was against that war. He said, hey, what are we going to war here for? But he was in the minority, and we went to war. James K. Polk was the president. He was a Democrat, believed in manifest destiny, believed that it was manifest. It was God's will that we have a country go from Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. We're going to spread freedom and our ideas because they're superior. And boy, there's a lot of good land down there in Texas and all the way out to California. You know, and eventually Mexico learned that. You know, we're just not going to be able to stand against the Colossus of the North, which eventually a lot of the Latin American countries eventually called us. We became the big boy on the block. That's the way it is. Okay? And I'm skipping a lot of other smaller wars or skirmishes. The American Civil War. Now, I heard... there's something put out by Ben. How come I get on here and forget his name? What's the name of the fellow that's on the radio and podcast? Shapiro and Ben Matt Shapiro. Walsh. And yeah. Matt Walsh. I like those guys, but you know they're basically saying we didn't have a civil war. It was a war between the states, or it was a war of northern aggression, and such condemnation and criticism of Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. I go, oh boy, do I have to argue this? People always thinking that Lincoln was president when we had a civil war, when states, in my view, in Lincoln's view, and the vast majority of people in North's view, were seceding from the Union when they had no constitutional authority to do that. And as Lincoln said, secession is the essence of anarchy. It'd be like me and you, Randy, standing up tomorrow and say, hey, Randy's the president of Michigan, and I'm the vice president. The current government of Michigan is defunct. It's no good. It's illegitimate. And we declare our independence. Hey, and we just got Russia to recognize us. That's just silly. That's just stupid. Right. Totally. I can't do that. I mean, we could pretend that we could do it, but we didn't do it. And so these states, quote, seceded from the Union, but they didn't. That's Lincoln's view of it. That was people in the North. You can't secede from the Union. And he gave all his arguments, and I don't have time to go through all those. But we had a civil war. It was a war. I know a lot of people said, well, here's one of the criticisms of Lincoln. He prosecuted war without congressional approval. Well, it wasn't a war. Now, careful. It was a war, and it wasn't. We never declared war because Lincoln never recognized this Confederacy. He would never talk to anybody in the Confederate government, because if he was to talk to them, it would be quasi-recognizing their independence. It was a rebellion. And he understood where they were coming from. He was a brilliant man. And after the war was defeated, it was Lincoln that, after the South was defeated, it was Lincoln that said, with malice toward none, with charity for all, let us heal up the nation's wounds, to care for him that have borne the battle, and for his widow, and for his orphan. I mean, he wanted to bring the South in very easy. He wanted peace again. But you had to fight to preserve the Union, to preserve the Constitution. Yes, I recognize he did some things, you know, arrested some legislators, arrested some media personnel who were fomenting rebellion. In the North, he did that. He arrested Northerners because they were helping the rebellion. And this was a civil war. And there was, this, in a sense, not total martial law, but to some measure, that's what happens in war. I mean, that's what always happens in war. Always. I mean, listen, back up again. The whole concept of the draft, of conscription. I'm just living my life the way I want to live it, paying my taxes. And the government comes, Uncle Sam comes to me and says, I want you. Okay, that happened during the Civil War, happened during World War I, happened in World War II, Korea, Vietnam. Well, how can they force me into the, how can the government force me into the military? Well, we force you because we have to protect ourselves. And I know we don't like that, and it seems like it's you're infringing on our civil liberties. That's the nature of the world, of humanity, of the United States. And you have to do that, or you'll cease to be a country, and then you will really get a loss of your freedom. And a lot of people just are unable to see that. So after that, 1898, the Spanish-American War, I think it was McKinley called a splendid little war. Only lasted 3 months. We probably provoked that war too. I'm not sure. We had a ship sitting in Havana Harbor and it blew up, and we blamed it on the Spanish, and the news media promoted it. Remember the Maine. We eventually declared war. There was also, something called the Zimmerman Note. No, back up. That's World War One. There was a note from that we intercepted, and it really irritated us. I mean, there's always a reason to go to war, and we did, and we won. And it'll stop there. I'll come back on the other side. There's always a reason for war there, though.
Very good, Pastor Chatfield. I'm Chuck Arandy. We're your defending fathers here on this Friday, May 1st. Bottom of the Hour News. We'll be right back.